Welcome to Moss Marketing Mondays, aka the M3 Podcast.
Brought to you by Moss Marketing Group.
Bringing you everything marketing every Monday. Stay tuned for marketing tips and tricks you can use today. The M3 Podcast, marketing knowledge to help you succeed. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the M3 Podcast. This week, we are doing our first remote podcast. So, super cool. And is Logan and I here with Levi Lasik out of Texas. Thanks for being on, Levi.
Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
So, Levi, you are in real estate and have made a big name for yourself in the digital space. So, what you do fits right in with what we do, and I think it was a perfect fit when everything kind of came to have you on the podcast. So, what got you into real estate, and what's that kind of story that leads up to you getting into real estate?
Well, we're actually going to be hitting 2 years next month in December, you know, so it's been a very quick rise, but I would say that's been an accumulation of the last 20 years of my sales and marketing experience along with my business partner, Travis Plum. But the thing was, is both of us at the time had businesses that went south during the pandemic. So I had been running a financial services company I had for the last 5 years. It was very successful. Worked with all of Dallas ISD. I worked with all the school teachers on retirement planning. So it was very lucrative. But, you know, in April of 2020, whenever all the schools shut down, then, you know, my business shut down. And I couldn't really tell when was that going to come back? When were schools going to open again? When was the world going to open again? And so over the summer of 2020, I sat there and had to ask myself some very difficult questions, which is, first of all, I was 41 at the time. So I was like, well, I'm 41. How do I start over without starting over? And if I'm going to transition and make a move, you know, what do I do? What am I going to get into? And I didn't really want to start from the bottom all over again. So I had to think of different ways that I wanted to, you know, build a new business, but what? And the thing, I had a really good friend, Michael Reese, who's been in real estate for 20 years, actually tried to get me into real estate 20 years ago. We sold gym memberships together at Bally Total Health Fitness. And he got into real estate in 2002 and I didn't follow, but you know, here he came back to me in 2020 and he was like, hey man, now's the best time to get in real estate. Real estate's on the rise. It's actually growing over the summer of 2020. And he goes, this is, I think it's your time. And he just always felt like I would be a good fit for real estate. And I just thought, well, okay, well, if I'm going to move into real estate, instead of just jumping into it, I knew I needed a plan. And something that Michael said to me always resonated, which it's not the best real estate agent that wins, it's the best marketer. So I knew I needed a marketing plan. I needed to understand how was I going to build a business and a brand from zero? How's the fastest way I could do that? And then also I had to ask myself, how could I attract business? Because the last thing I wanted to do at 41 years old is go out and cold call and door knock and kiss babies, you know, and shake hands and try to just network, especially over 2020 during the summer. It was still questionable anyways about getting out and about and networking events or meeting people anyways. That was still a little bit up in the air. So I knew I needed to build a brand and a business online. That would be the best way to do that. But I also didn't want to spend a lot of money. So even though I could have, I just thought, well, I don't want to sit there and throw money away on print ads or postcards or, you know, billboards all over the place. How am I going to establish myself in the shortest amount of time with the least amount of money? And I realized, okay, well, I know that we'll be on social media, but, you know, there's all these platforms out there. There's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, you know, Twitter. It's like, where is everybody actually building a business from? So when I started to look into real estate agents on these platforms, I started to just do some research and ask questions and talk to agents as well. And really everybody was kind of saying, hey, let's get, you know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Those are where you want to be. And especially TikTok. Every agent seemed like in 2020 was waking up to 10,000 followers, you know, overnight. They would wake up and say, oh, I woke up and I had 10,000 followers on TikTok. And so everyone was saying, you got to be on TikTok. That's where it's at. But something just didn't sit well with me about being a dancing real estate agent or doing little pointy videos all over the place. So I just thought, well, that's probably not a good fit for me. Instagram and Facebook, I felt not also good places for me, not a good fit. And YouTube was really the last choice. So whenever I started to look at YouTube, I started to just really dig in and research the platform as a whole, because also I knew I wanted to start on one platform. What I didn't want to do is try to spread myself thin over five different platforms. And everybody also said, well, look, you got to be everywhere, right? You got to be on every single platform and create content for every platform. And I knew that wouldn't be true either. And I knew I needed to understand one, go all in on one platform. And then from there, if I found success, I could branch out into the other platforms. But once I discovered YouTube was a search engine and not a social media platform, then I started to kind of see a path in a way that I could create content in particularly about Dallas, which I knew nothing about being a real estate agent, but I knew everything about Dallas. And I thought, well, if I could create content about Dallas and not trying to just educate people on buying or selling a home, which I also didn't feel like I had any credibility to do that because I hadn't sold a home at the time. So I thought, well, I can just talk about Dallas, see if I can find people that are searching for the information. And then I started to dig in. And as I realized, okay, yeah, YouTube's a search engine. Well, guess what? YouTube and Google, they tell you what people are searching for. So then I found, what people are searching for on Dallas, Texas, and which neighborhoods and which suburbs and which neighbor. And so I was like, okay, well, I can make some content about those areas. And I just started, I just went out there and got on my my iPhone and started making videos. And I built a structure around it. I did have a plan in place. So I took some time as well to kind of research a way to structure a video and, how to kind of tell a story. And so those were some of the things that I researched. And so then once I built up a plan and understood YouTube as a platform and how it worked, and then kind of had an understanding of how I could apply it to real estate without really talking real estate, then I was like, okay, now I'm ready. And so I just built a plan before I moved into real estate. So I think where a lot of people struggle across any business, not just real estate, is they're like, okay, I'm going to start this business. And then they start a business and then they're trying to figure it out as they go. And what it usually comes down to, the reason most people fail in business, not just in real estate, but in business in general as well, is they're not effective at lead generation. And so whenever they start a new type of business or get into real estate or whatever it is, the new venture they're going into, they don't understand how to get customers in the door or, people to click on their website or people to, reach out to them and wanting to do business. So if they're not effective at lead generation, then what happens is they'll either spin themselves out of business real quickly, or they'll work themselves out of business real quickly, because most people don't come into business or real estate and become really great on the phones initially, or door knocking or meeting people or working their friends and families. It comes with a lot of rejection. And when people get rejected so many times, they're kind of like, okay, well, this isn't any fun anymore. And so they'll quit at that point as well. So really it was just a series of events. But what I learned was from my previous 20 years in sales and marketing was that I needed a solid plan, understand what I could do is in terms of marketing, and then how I would apply that. And then how could I try to create traction in a very short window of time? And then it just blew up from there.
Yeah, I think you hit on a big point right out the gate, was that the best real estate agent is the best marketer. And the acquisition of leads in any business is one of the most crucial things for a business to grow. If you don't have any leads, you don't have a business. And I think that's something that a lot of people discount. And I don't know about with where you're at, but we discuss this all the time, that the Midwest is like the only place in the country that people open up a business with zero marketing strategy, zero really marketing plan at all. They just open up the doors and they sit there and they wait for something to happen. And then they end up closing their doors. They burn through all their capital and they're like, well, I don't know why this didn't work. And it's, you had no form and no really plan of attack to acquire business. So when you open up doors on a brick and mortar building, if you're going to sell real estate and anything that you're doing, there has to be some sort of plan to acquire work. And I like how you talked about like going through all the different platforms and seeing which one worked best for you. And it's crazy because we work with, I mean, we have a lot of companies that we work with, and you see so many different things work for different people, that you have some companies that Instagram is the holy grail. Some are, Facebook's the holy grail. Some it's YouTube. Just depending on what that business model is, that, like you said, TikTok, a lot of people chased after TikTok really quick with views and followers just because it was easier than other platforms. Which realistically, if you took short video, you went to other platforms, you acquired more of an audience in your location and a more authentic audience. And I think that's where a lot of people chased after this number on TikTok really quick, but it didn't actually have conversions back into being actual business. And when you say that you're going to tell people about Dallas, people that are looking at information about Dallas are either going to come there or they're already there, to where you're hitting a clientele that is sitting in your geographical location instead of hitting someone that's sitting in Europe or a third world country on a cell phone, something like that, where that person, I would rather have 1,000 views on a perfect audience right where I sit than 1,000,000 views on something that all the people watching are irrelevant. So I think that's big on having a marketing strategy and finding a platform that works for you right out the gate. And most of the time, if someone steps into real estate, business, whatever it is, and they have that plan of attack, and they execute it and they're consistent with it, most of the time it works. Like most of the time you see the success in it. Like, and but then you see people that jump in and don't do it. And then you're like, well, I could have told you that was going to happen. What did it look like starting to acquire traction on YouTube? Because I know YouTube is, I'd say 20% of people are kind of educated on it. And I would say 80% of people are in left field when it comes to YouTube.
Yeah, you mean as far as business owners are educated on it? 20% of business owners are educated on it? Or you mean people in general? Yeah,
that number might be high. I'm just trying to, like, generally, business owners, and we had a guy on the podcast a few weeks ago that he has a knife channel. That's what he does for a living, is reviews pocket knives at his house, makes a fortune, has a big following on YouTube, everything of that nature. But as a business owner, what did you see traction looking like and consistency, and how long did it take for you to start seeing a return on it?
Yeah. So that's the cool thing about YouTube. I believe it's the true equalizer as far as there's an audience really for anything. I mean, before, I think, 20, 30 years ago, probably not a big business in reviewing knives, right? Or not as popular, or quilting. I mean, quilting blankets, right? It was your little club on Friday night of two or three of you. But now there is an audience out there. So you could have a quilting channel. You could have a knife review channel. You know, I used to feel bad for the shoe shine guy at the airport, right? Because he was never busy. And I thought, man, it must be tough to sit there all day, 8 hours a day, making what, $10, $15 a shoe shine and getting, two, three, four customers a day. I thought that was terrible until I found a shoe shine channel on YouTube that had over 1.5 million subscribers. And the guy had brand deals and probably making, six figures off of, shoe shine products that were sponsoring his channel because he had the viewers. And all he did was had a camera above the shoes that he would shine. And so simple things like that, you would be shocked at what you can turn into a business because there is an audience out there. So the main thing is to create content. The other aspect about YouTube is that people are looking to get their questions answered. 55% of our traffic comes from TV, computer, and tablet. Think about that. Those are research devices, which tells us that people are sitting down, like dug in, ready to research and consume content. Also, they say attention spans are dead these days, which is why everybody's supposed to be a dancing real estate agent on TikTok. But you look at the view durations, like 30% of our traffic comes from TV on our channel. So that means people are sitting on their couch, maybe even laying in bed, watching our videos, and the average view duration is almost 10 minutes of video. So we know that when people are sitting down, researching, looking for questions to their answers. They're willing to watch long form content. And the great thing about long form content is that it builds the relationship for you. You mentioned it, like one of your friends, Big Mike, you know, you said Big Mike watches all of our videos, loves us, and he's built a relationship with us through that video, right? Now we talk back and forth, go back and forth a few times, but that video allowed him to see us, who we are, you know, enjoy the value that we provide. And also he probably clicks with our personality. So he's like, hey, those are my people, right? And so if he was ever going to move to Dallas, I would assume, I'm not 100% right, but he would probably give us a call, right? Because we've provided that much value. But even going back to your comment about the UK, we have helped people from Japan, two people from Australia, one from South Africa, one from the Philippines, one from the UK. They've all moved to Dallas because they found our YouTube channel. So even people all over the world that are research, a couple from Ukraine, which I would be moving out of Ukraine right now as well. Yeah.
On that note, on YouTube, I think that is a platform when you acquire audience from Australia or something of that nature, that they are directly searching Dallas.
Yep.
That is something that person most likely is moving to Dallas. I don't think, and I could totally be wrong on this, I'm assuming that there's not people over there just watching videos of what's happening in Dallas. Right. So I think on those outliers, you are going to catch them when they're coming there. And that's where on social platforms, it's great to build an audience. And we live a lot on like doing a lot of paid ads, a lot of things like that, because you can geographically target. And where TikTok, you go out and you just build an audience. And like you said, you wake up overnight, you have 10,000 followers and half of them are out of Australia that never plan to come to Dallas.
Yep.
That's a lot of audience you're working on content all the time for that are actually never going to return you anything unless you just become large enough where you're monetizing deals and things like that via the platform.
Yeah. And you got to think about what business you're in too, right? So of course, us being in real estate, what I don't think people do is I don't think they say, hey, honey, it's time to buy a house. Let's go and see what's on the market on Facebook, you know, or hey, honey, it's time to buy a house. Let's see if we can find the best dancing real estate agent on TikTok. So if they're looking to make that move in our business, they're not likely going to short form platforms. They're going, oh, let's go to YouTube or Google and do research. And of course, Google owns YouTube. And so if you Google anything on YouTube, guess what Google's going to do? They're going to put up YouTube videos on that homepage. So they're going to try to direct you to YouTube because they know when people get caught up watching long form videos, then they get stuck on that platform for hours and hours and hours. Now, the thing is that you're right. I can go on TikTok and I may see a real estate agent that's making funny videos and I'm like, oh, that's great. And I may follow them just because I like that content, but it doesn't mean I have any intentionality whatsoever of ever moving there or reaching out to them. So I think those platforms are powerful, like you said, for brand awareness, to build an audience. And clearly you can do business from that. But, you know, for us, we've surpassed over 100 million in sales this year from YouTube. And the last time I checked, I haven't heard a lot of other people doing that amount of volume from the short form platforms. So I know they've done some amount, but you know, that's very significant because we know that our people are intentional. And that's the big difference. When people go onto YouTube, they're intentional for what they're searching for. So therefore, our average contact under contract is also 47 days, which is extremely fast. That means the first time anybody ever reaches out to us, we're getting them on average under contract in 47 days. Why? Because they're in the process already of researching and to make a decision. And whenever they call us, they've already made a decision that they want to work with us because they've consumed so many videos up to that point. Now, that's a different amount for each person. It could be 2 videos, 5 videos, 8 videos. But we've had people that have reached out to us and said, we've watched your channel for a year and then we are ready to buy a home. That's why we called you. And then that's why we get them under contract so fast, because the YouTube is its own best drip campaign, right? It just, once people get locked in, they're like, okay, we're thinking about moving next year. Why call and bother them? That's what they think. And that's what they tell us. So they sit there and just watch the content. And the great thing about YouTube as well is they'll come to us, people that have never lived here before. And instead of saying, hey, can you show me all 55 suburbs of Dallas, they say, hey, we've narrowed it down to two suburbs based on your videos. So it makes our job so much easier as well, because they've eliminated all the other because we've videoed every single, almost every single area of Dallas. So they can go and find out, what do they like? What do they don't like? This area looks like it's for me. This area is not for me. So whenever they come to us as well, that's why we get them under contract so quickly, is because they're narrowed down. They're extremely qualified. And these are great clients. They're decision makers. They're intentional, and they're ready to make a move. So it's just a whole different client. And this applies to any small business. If you're not creating content, I know a plumber in Dallas. There's a plumber in Dallas. Think about this. Not the funnest subject to learn about, right? But he teaches about leaky faucets and leaky toilets and has 500,000 subscribers. But he does brand deals. I know his brand deals are over $1 million a year. He's sponsored by Lowe's, Home Depot and Lowe's. And he's got a massive plumbing business because of his YouTube channel. But he still provides a lot of value, teaches a lot of people how to do things at no charge. But guess what? Whenever my pipe bust in my backyard, guess who I called? The plumber on YouTube. And guess what? I paid him $7,000 to fix my pipe, because they had to excavate, build it, repair it, but I know who he is. I've met him before, and we've talked, and so we're friends anyways, but it's because of the YouTube relationship. But still, I can go on his channel anytime and watch videos and do simple stuff around the house, right? And he probably doesn't want to call for a $20 leaky faucet anyways. So he knows he's going to cash in on the big ticket items. The same thing with real estate. We provide value upfront for free, and give people everything they need to know, so they feel very comfortable about making a multiple six-figure or multi-million dollar home purchase with us, because they can see us for who we are and the value we provide them.
You said something a little while ago I wanted to touch on. How many, on that $100 million statement, how many agents is included in that, or is that you by yourself?
Oh, no. Yeah, I wish that was me. I'm not in production. Yeah. I'm not in production. That would be my team. Yeah, we've got about 10 agents that have closed the majority of
that. Out there business. For a second. How many did you say?
Oh, we've got about 10 agents. Yeah.
So I know a little bit about real estate. My fiance now is in real estate, and she does very well in the Kansas City area. And it's crazy when talking to someone that has really ran that's also successful, and ran a completely different vertical. She has a team, and she has positioned herself into a pretty high dollar market. But a lot of the clientele she picks up when she gets listings, things like that, we run a lot of Facebook videos, a lot of ads on video. We do live by video side. I am a video person through and through, and just believe in content more than anything. And it gets a lot of, I come from the automotive space, so I call it getting a lot of sleeping buyers, where you have people out there that are interested in something, and they're a buyer if the right thing comes and presents them. So I'm not actively looking for a house. I'm a buyer that could buy a house if something came up, but it'd have to be the perfect thing, and somebody have to present it to me in a way that I was like, whoa. And same thing with cars. Every single car I've ever bought is never something that I'm actively looking for. Something really cool, flashy pops up that I have to have, and I go buy it. And it's so there's different buyers out there to acquire. I feel that, do you get a lot of people that are coming out of state moving in?
Yeah, we have a pretty hefty relocation market, and especially because the fact that, people from out of state don't know the area too well. So a lot of people get transferred here. Companies are relocating here. People want to get out of, they want to get out of these coastal areas where they're getting hit with restrictions and taxes and things like that. And so what do? They first start researching on YouTube. And so that's whenever they find our videos, because we've built everything around search as well. So yeah, we do capture that. And I think we're probably the best team at capturing that relocation market. And the great thing is we don't have anybody to compete with, because they don't know a real estate agent here in Dallas, you know? So when they're initially looking and they find our videos and they continually watch our videos, guess what happens? We just become their agent by default.
Which I think it's cool when you look in real estate, because I feel like there's so many different ways that it works, and you can take 10 real estate agents that have done it completely different and all seen so much success in it. And like when Big Mike first showed me all your stuff before this was ever even came to light of being a podcast or anything, I was very intrigued with the whole way of going after it, that I'm like, okay, that's completely different than the way that everyone else is doing it. And I'm a huge advocate on when everyone goes left, I go right. We've done the same thing in the marketing space, with where we're at. We do everything completely different than everyone else. And at first everyone said we're crazy. And you probably start doing all these YouTube videos and all the other agents around you are like, what is this guy doing? And now all of a sudden, fast forward a couple of years, you're like, hey, look, it worked. And I think it just speaks volumes to what content can do and what the digital space can do. And I mean, a business that's been around since I don't know when real estate agents became a thing, like when they started building houses, I don't know. But it's crazy on looking at just a completely different mindset on how it runs and operates and then seeing the success from it.
Well, it's huge with anything that you do. Whenever people see you repeatedly and hear you talk and present yourself, they feel like they know you and can trust you right from the get-go before they've even met you in person. That's what we talk about with our clients, with the content that we record for them, is that we have clients that, you know, sometimes they just want conversions, leads, stuff like that. And we talk to them about building a brand and getting people to know you before you ask for that, you know, conversion or that big ticket item. So I think in the digital world that we live in, you've done a really good job, obviously. But that's the part of it that people love, is that they feel like they have a face that they can trust and they know.
Yeah, it's a very cool vertical that you've kind of positioned yourself in. Because is anyone in Dallas doing anything close to what you're doing? Like similar in YouTube?
Well, they are now. they are now, you know. it's definitely cool to do now. So yeah, there's some people, you know, they can, the channel's public, of course, so people can look at that and just try to, do what we do. There's one channel that seems to come out with the same video I come out with, 3 to 4 days later. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, we just try to continually provide consistent quality content. We're not worried about other channels, because I do know it comes down to personality as well. So even if there's other real estate channels out there, people will watch probably both of them, you know, but they'll end up choosing one agent to work with. And so I know the people that choose us, they've made a connection with us, and our personalities are probably a good match, which we haven't really had any nightmare clients. Yeah. They've all been really fun to work with and really just like us. So again, you know, like attracts like, and I think video is the best way to attract your ideal customer.
Yeah. That's, you're always going to have leaders in a space. And once you start doing something that works, it's crazy how fast people follow. But also that being that first one to do something like that, I'm almost going to guarantee probably those people that you see a video coming out right behind you all the time, they're not coming up with original content that they're rolling out that all of a sudden, like, someone's like, whoa, that's something super new. I haven't seen something like that. So I feel like you kind of had that, you have that lead in it. I feel like when people get that, they like maintain it, and everyone kind of keeps chasing that. You're not done. You're still progressing. You're getting better, to where they're always kind of chasing behind until you ever hit that spot where you're like, hey, I'm not going to do anything different.
Yep.
As it's kind of gone on, obviously COVID's changed a lot of things, and you jumped into it. You said whenever COVID kind of happened, what pivots and kind of shifts and adjustments have you had to make along the way, if any?
Well, in regards to that, not really any, just because, you know, here in Texas, we're pretty freedom friendly here in Texas. So I think we were closed down for 30, 60 days at the most. And then things kind of went on and about. And I kind of started this on the late side of 2020. So I started researching YouTube, really digging in. Took me the whole summer to really try to figure out what I was going to do. And then once I figured out, oh, I can move into real estate because I think I figured out something on YouTube, then I studied the platform. I took about 60 days to really dig in and try to understand everything I could about YouTube. So I did that over September, October. Then I filmed for a month in November, and I filmed first before publishing because I understood from my research that consistency was key, and you don't want to just make one video, publish it on YouTube like a lot of people do, and then all of a sudden everything gets in the way or excuses and stuff happens, and then I don't publish a second video for 2, 3, or 4 weeks. So I knew that, you know, inconsistency would kill the channel quicker than anything. So I wanted to film an entire month's worth of content first. So I had a published date of December 5th. And whenever I published the first video on December 5th of 2020, I already had the whole month's worth of content laid out. So that was 12 videos. I filmed 12 videos. And so I was planning on publishing 3 videos a week. And so that way over December, because I was scheduled out and had 12 videos ready to go, I was able to film and work on my next set of videos for January. So for me, I'm always trying to stay, you know, at least 2, 3, 4 weeks ahead on content because, you know, life happens, right? Health happens, family happens, real estate happens, all kinds of things get in the way, and you want to be ahead on your content. That way you won't feel like you're drowning every single week. And then on top of that, if something does come up, and you get stuck and, you know, you don't end up missing a week. So I was very, very strategic about being consistent from the beginning. Haven't missed a week since starting either. And that's it, because I realized the importance of the consistency. And so that's the other aspect of it, is just really publishing every single week for the last 2 years and, you know, and trying to stay ahead on top of the content. So that was something that I think is very important, especially people looking to get started, is take a little time. Don't get stuck in analysis paralysis, but take a little time, do a little research, build out a business plan, you know, for YouTube. And yes, if you treat YouTube like a hobby, it'll pay you like a hobby. If you treat it like a business, it can pay you like a business. So treat it respectfully, research, learn a little bit about it, and then build out the business plan that fits your business, film some content, get it ready to go. And then, you know, work on a scheduling and a publishing, you know, schedule, and then you rock and roll from there. And then once you get started, just don't stop for until you can, until you, you know, you've got that momentum built up. And then of course you can always work on batch recording by recording a lot of content, in the same day or the same week or the same 2 weeks. You know, I can easily record a month's worth of content inside of 2 days. And so that's something that's also very simple to do, instead of just trying to throw it in wherever you have free time, which will never work out. Schedule time, actually set aside a day or two, and you can film multiple videos. That way you'll always be ahead of the game.
Yeah, I think that consistency side is huge. And we see people fail with it all the time. And they come out, I think I just posted a reel on it, like, less than an hour ago, about being consistent and having that content drop all the time. So you said you do 12 long, the 12 are the long form videos on YouTube a month, correct?
Correct.
Do you still do that same number?
Very much so. Yep. Sometimes we fall back to 2 videos a week, depending on if one of them does really well or not. We give it a little extra room to breathe, but yeah, we very, very consistent on 2 to 3 videos.
Gotcha. So what is your thought on YouTube Shorts now? So I know everyone has different thoughts on this right now. I'm more intrigued with people that are involved in YouTube that are actively using it.
Yeah, before I wasn't really a fan of them. Now they just did completely new update on Shorts. And so I do believe there is an opportunity there, which they've made Shorts search-based now, as well as breaking them off onto their own tab on your channel, so they don't clutter up the video feed. So I think those are 2 very important updates that make me very pro Shorts right now. So I would say if you want to do Shorts, go for it. But I really believe that you have to build a foundation off of long form in the first place, because YouTube is the search engine. People are coming there to get their questions answered. And I don't believe a lot of people make buying decisions off of 60-second videos. I think they they make buying decisions based off of, you know, watching informational videos, educational videos, long form content that helps them, you know, make their decisions a lot easier. But, you know, hey, I'm sure somebody's bought something off of a 60-second video, but I still believe you want to build your foundation on YouTube, and then you can supplement that with the shorts. And the shorts will get you some views and some subscribers. They have virality aspects to them, which will make you feel good. But going back to just as you mentioned earlier on TikTok, I mean, I could care less about the vanity metrics. I want phone calls, you know, so I don't think shorts will drive a lot of phone calls. Now, they may bring awareness again. And if somebody happens to be searching, then they'll find your long form content. And now you can even clip, you know, shorts directly from your long form content. You can do that on your phone. And if somebody clicks on that short, it'll take them back to the long form video. But I also believe in platform psychology, which means, you know, if people are there to watch long form video, they want to watch long form video. Not a lot of people I know switch back and forth, go from just watching 60-second videos to, oh, great, here's a 25-minute video I can watch now, you know? So the long form content is really designated for the people that are ready to research, ready to learn, ready to be educated and, you know, dig in on that. So will the shorts help them find you quicker? Yeah, possibly, but it's also going to bring a lot of outside noise that, will, you know, make people probably feel good for a little bit until the phone doesn't ring. And then they're going, okay, why is it not ringing? I'm making all these shorts. Well, you've got to have the foundational long form content to back it up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that goes a lot into price of product, that people can sell $20 items on TikTok and run a 30-second commercial and people drop straight in to buy. So I think the form of content that most time when I get onto YouTube to do further research on something, if I'm going to buy its camera equipment, something like that, that I really want to deep dive into to get more knowledge on, I'm not going to buy it off of something short. But a lot of times I end up there due to watching something short. Now I think I need it. So I think it's all this weird funnel base on where content lives at a different spot in it. That a lot of ads we run, things like of that nature, it isn't to convert at that spot, but to put someone into a location where they can get more information. And same thing with, I don't know why marketing companies around here have this big, huge like problem, but they run ads on like 5-minute videos, which is the most baffling thing I've seen. It's that 5-minute video can live on your website, but run a 30-second ad that's enticing enough that only the people that end up on your website are the ones that are intrigued enough to learn more. And you get a lot more conversions that way, things of that nature, because I live by conversions. We live by video. We live by how that funnel process works to end up putting money into the pocket of the business owner that we're working with. And I just feel like there's a spot for all of it. It's just how it's placed and how it's used. But once again, on the homes, things like that, the videos that we do, it is to push people to contact, to maybe set up a showing, something like that. Is it a set buy right there when they see it? No. You want to show off the coolest of the cool. And it might end up being acquiring of a buyer from showing that house that ends up buying another house from that same agent. Towards, once again, using that whole funnel to acquire people in at the right way. And I also think a lot of what you do and a lot of the success that comes from it is your face being on all of it, which I've had to work at getting better at this, that when your face is tied to something, it brings that personal aspect to it. I feel like there's a very personal aspect to your videos and to the YouTube channel and to that part of it, that if I watched that, I wasn't from Dallas, I show up in Dallas, I would feel like I knew you enough to go work with you, and it wouldn't be something that was uncomfortable, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. The video builds the relationship for you.
Yeah. So I think you've done a phenomenal job on that long form. What were you going to say, Lloyd?
Oh, I was just going to, so I know you said you started with TikTok, or not with TikTok, with YouTube. Was there a certain point where you're like, okay, I've kind of established myself on TikTok. I'm going to, or on YouTube, sorry. I'm going to go do a bunch of research on Instagram on these other ones now? Or was it just kind of like we just talked about, supplemental to kind of try to drive people to your YouTube?
Yeah, it's supplemental. I mean, we haven't really done much on the other platforms at all. I've just really focused on digging in even deeper on YouTube, which is just learning it more and more as much as I possibly can. And so now we've repurposed content and placed it on the other platforms, but not really intention. It's more of just an awareness, or if eyeballs are there, and that's really the main part of it. We're not creating separate content, because I got my hands full already with a lot of other things. So just even keeping up with content for this channel, for our agent focused channel, which we, you know, work on helping other agents build their YouTube channels as well. So creating content for that, plus traveling, there's a lot that goes into it. So digging down, that's not an excuse, but and I know there's opportunity there, but it's a matter of, it's just been more of in the back seat for us, hasn't really been a focus. So we just really been working on, perfecting YouTube as much as possible.
Do you have a full-time content person now?
Well, as far as content person, what do you mean? Because we definitely have different positions. We do have a full-time videographer now. We do have a social media manager now. We have a operations manager. So all three of them are, and we have a video editor and a video editing agency. So we have a video editing agency that helps real estate agents, because a lot of them would get through our training and then they would get stuck trying to find video editing and how to optimize and SEO. And so we built out a team to do that for them. So yeah, we have a full staff and team now that runs that.
That's what definitely when you start running that volume. So we do a lot with companies around here that we have videographers on staff. We have photographers. We have all of it. We have just hired FPV drone pilots that we have now for just the real estate side, pretty much. But it's, I also own a video editing software company that we're working on rolling out everywhere, just because that editing side, I think a lot of people really discount how much work goes into what you do content wise. And there's a lot of people like, oh yeah, I'll just handle it myself. And I'm like, yeah, good luck. Like, it's a lot of work that goes into it. So I see the volume that's going out on not just your YouTube channel, but your Instagram, everything else like that, that amount of social content rolling out. I was just wondering what kind of staffing you had to man all that.
Yeah, it's a lot now. So, but it started with just me. It started with just me. Started with me and one editor.
What time did it shift to start bringing on a videographer and all that?
I think within a year after, when we hit the 1 year mark, the first full-time hire we brought on was a videographer. And that's because we wanted the step up in quality of content. So, and then we brought our editor on full-time to, for her to also start to help us with other things. And so, yeah, from there it was videographer, then editor full-time. And then we just continually grew from there, but we waited a year. I mean, so it was pretty smooth operation for the time being, but and you should probably always hire somebody a little bit before you're ready as well, which I think a lot of people tend to look at the cost of that person, and that makes them hold off from doing it. But you have to realize that if that person helps you scale and bring in more money, then they're no cost, So you just got to have the right plan in place.
Yeah. Most people don't look at the scalability of like our marketing team. There's 10 of us now, and I started April 2020, and everyone I talked to only pretty much told me the fact that 98% of marketing companies fail in the first 2 years. And, but scalability wise, it was, if you went after content and did those things and really pushed to actually scale, the factor of, I think most people, the biggest pill to swallow is cost for content, because it's not a direct return, and it ends up being a direct return, but scalability of everything that you're doing has led you to where you're at. If you said, hey, I never did the YouTube at all, I never did any of that content, then you would be nowhere close to where you're at now. So it is something that when you look at scalability, look at total numbers, it becomes, I don't want to say irrelevant, but it becomes where it's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of it. One of the, we're kind of in getting towards the end here. One of the biggest, like kind of one of the questions that we like to end the podcast on and go over, is if you had the ability to go back to your 20-year-old self and give one word of advice, what would that be?
You know, the funny, that's a funny question. Cause I answer this a lot for sometimes I always tell the analogy I use whenever I'm talking to real estate agents about moving forward into learning about the metaverse and NFTs and blockchain, which I think, and I'm not talking about crypto. I'm talking about blockchain, NFTs, things with utility and where the real estate industry and probably a lot of other industries are moving towards. I think that's something that you want to get on the forefront right now. But I always use the example of that. I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be in my life. I don't question that. And I don't, you know, I don't have regrets from everything that's happened. I believe they've placed me here. But going back to your question, if I could change one thing to my 20-year-old self, which was 23 years ago, it would be to take the internet seriously. You know, at the time I was 20 in probably 2000, the year 2000, you know, internet was coming out. And, you know, at that time, like Elon Musk was already a multimillionaire from the internet. Right. And I just kind of was like, oh yeah, you hear some things. And I was kind of like, yeah, internet's cool. I'm going to go on there, check my email. It's going to take me an hour to log on and check my email. And so, you know, I just didn't really have patience or curiosity to really dig in and learn how to build a business online. And so, you know, that's the only thing I would change if I could go back. But that's why I look at now, right now, with metaverse, web 3.0, NFTs and blockchain, I feel like we're in that position again, where we're about to experience the biggest shift that we've seen in the last 20 years. And so I encourage people to take that seriously and start your learning process now, because when these things do take hold in the next three, maybe sooner, but in the next 3, 4, 5 years, you don't want to be that person, whether you're an agent or not, that says, what's this blockchain thing? Maybe I'm going to start taking a look at it, you know? So don't be that person. Start just watching some videos, reading some things here and there. You'll build up your education and then things will start to click over time. You'll get more familiar, and then you may see opportunities and ways that you can improve your business or, you know, exploit some gaps in your market.
I like it. That's yeah. I think that's always there. I think there's always more happening. I feel like there's always more opportunity. And we have a coaching platform too, that we work with a lot of people I just don't think see the opportunity right in front of them all the time. And we talk with business owners on a daily basis that have never even think about it or have never even thought about implementing video into their business yet. And there's just like, that baffles me. And when you look at it, and overall, there's so many people that when you talk about 23 years ago, there's people that are still in that exact same position that you were in 23 years ago, probably even less educated than you were at that point about how the internet works, about how all this works. And I don't know, I think there's just opportunity everywhere in front of us all the time. We just have to be willing to go get it.
Yep.
But I very, very much like that one on being on the forefront. Any final thoughts?
Get on video.
Get started on video. Take action. I'm a firm believer in just taking action all the time, good, bad, and different, whatever it is. If you're taking action, you're going to be moving forward.
I think a big one too is being open to learn. Just putting yourself out there and knowing that you don't know everything about stuff and taking the time, like you said, before you jump into something to educate yourself about it.
Yeah. You got to ask yourself as a business owner, I mean, what are your options? You know, we like to refer to this as passive prospecting. We're actually completing a book now on this, which is the whole premise is passive prospecting. We feel like video allows us to passively prospect not just 24 hours a day, but in multiples of days. You know, I always use the example, our channel in one day was watched 1,514 hours. That's equivalent to 63 days. That's 2.1 months. And then if our channel in one month in July was watched 11,800 hours, that's equivalent to 1.34 years. So that means in one month, our channel prospected for us a year, 1.34 years worth of time. So that's not just a return of your time. That is making you time, and that is compounding your time. And so that the videos are constantly working for us, not just 24/7, but multiples of days in a single day time frame. And so therefore it is passively prospecting for us. The video does that work for us. And so therefore, if you hate prospecting, which I never really enjoyed prospecting, this is a great way to build your business as well.
100% agree with all of that. And it's, if you're not utilizing video in today's space, I feel like you're not going after everything that you could be. And I like the math side of it too, where you outline the time that it's prospecting for you. But I think that's what we got. I think, yeah. Well,
when's your book coming out?
Well, according to the publisher, probably going to be February. So we do have a sign up. If I'm able to mention that, if people want to know whenever it gets released, then that would be really cool.
We will be putting all of your links to everything below also. So we are very appreciative of you being on today.
And well, thanks for having me, guys. It was a pleasure.
For sure. Absolutely. Have a killer day. And that is going to end the M3 podcast.
Thanks for listening to the M3 podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode.
Want to learn more?
Check us out on Instagram at Moss Marketing Group, on Facebook at Moss Marketing 58, or on our website at mossmarketinggroup.com.